What up? How you doing today? I'm Al Deschino, known online as Christian Ninja. I'm a full-time variety Twitch streamer and online missionary using everything from silly pictures to Bible studies to video games and everything else I can think of to connect with, mentor, love, and serve the online gaming and streaming community, especially the lost, lonely, and disenfranchised who are online every day looking for a positive, open, encouraging, and meaningful online connection. Welcome to XN Shadowed, an audio version of some of the best parts of my weekly streams and YouTube videos. I hope you find this helpful and interesting, and I hope even more that it inspires you to join the discussion sometime during one of my live streams. I hope you have a great day, and here's today's clip. Okay, so it's today's verse of the day. If you hit exclamation point VOD, verse of day, you'll get the verse of the day. And it is from John chapter 14, verse 27, which says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So, this verse, this section here, is within at the end of Jesus' time on earth. He's in the upper room, the very last meal that he's sharing with his disciples before he's going off to be crucified, before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and crucified. So he's talking to them about the last things, and they're kind of getting nervous. They're kind of getting freaked out. Things are getting real serious. You know, he washes their feet and he's talking about when he's gone and what's going to happen after he leaves. And he's talking about how it'll be better that he leaves, and the gift of the Holy Spirit will be coming. And they don't quite know what's going on here. And they're kind of getting worried, a little bit freaked out. And Jesus says, "Listen, peace I leave with you." And peace in that context is shalom, which is a lot better than, which is a lot more than just like the way that we talk about peace, which is sort of the absence of war or the absence of struggle. We talk about peace as sort of like everything. This is a bunch of chaos and whatever. Now we're at peace. It's a little bit different than that, because the peace, just shalom or peace, isn't merely the absence of trouble. It is the action of blessing. This is a good thing. There, you know, this is kind of like an amen, where it's like this. We agree with it. Then good things are going to happen, and it's connected to God's will. And so, it's not that God, Jesus is saying, you know, I'm not going to give you any troubles. You'll be neutral. He's saying, peace I give to you. In other words, I give you the ability to find me, to find purpose, to find good, to find understanding, to find comfort, to find blessing, to find, you know, to be in a relationship with the Creator. I'm giving that to you. Like, you're getting worried, you're getting freaked out. There's a lot happening around you. Tonight's going to be a big deal. You Judas is like taken off. You, like, there's a lot going on here. But I want you to understand that even though you're going to be scared, in fact, all of you are going to run away. Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to be terrified. When I go, I'm going to be crucified, and then I'm going to go. When I go, I'm leaving with you peace. You're not going to be at war. You're not going to be at within yourself. You're not going to be at war with each other. You're not going to be afraid. You are going to get something far more than that, and that is a personal, intimate relationship with me through the Holy Spirit, being able to take you from no matter where you are and how much trouble you're in, to find a supernatural peace, right? The second part he says here is, you know, I do my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you, right? So what is worldly peace? Like, we look at the world today, and, you know, Ukraine is at war, and not just Ukraine, but there are other wars in the world. You've got, in America, you've got factions and divisions and people, like, literally talking about killing each other when it comes to this Roe v. Wade thing. Like, I see online how the people are freaking out, and they're talking about violence, much violence against even both sides, right? And there's a war there. So what does worldly peace look like? What would it mean that if the peace as the world gives you? Well, usually that comes with either an authority, or it comes with like a heavy hand, or it comes with walls and rules and forcing you and locking people up, or it comes from just imposing will. or it comes from, say, for example, like being able to finally deal with some of the problems, right? You kind of go, okay, we've dealt with the, you know, we put the fires out, we put all the bad guys in jail, we've removed the rubble, we've given people housing, we've done now we can have a time of peace, and the world, whether it be the government or be the business, or whether it be the family, or whether it be whatever, says, okay, I'm giving you peace. You know, post-World War One is a great example of this, where you've got World War One is just finished. It's like the worst. People are an absolute mess. The world has been in turmoil. And afterwards, people are like, I'm so glad that's over. We're finally at peace. We're finally done with that horrible thing. And I'm so glad that's done, because it was terrible. I'm glad that we as a society recognized how terrible that is, and now we will continue our ramp into the Renaissance, into enlightenment. We've discovered this bump in the road is bad, and we will now be at peace in the world. And it was, what, 20 years? Not even? Like 15 whatever years, like 20 whatever, before things started going sideways? You go end of 1919, and then 1940 or whatever. So you've got peace as the world gives, which is temporary, is inconsistent, is poor when it comes to the definition of it. In fact, you talk about peace, you know, say for example, from a parental perspective, some parents think peace equals quiet. So they will authoritatively look at their children and be like, shut up, get out of my face, I don't want you here, go to your room, give me some peace. So everybody in the house is upset. Everybody in the house is afraid. Everybody's running and sitting in their rooms, but the whoever's done that is talking about it being peace. That's not peace. That's not peace as God gives it. Or you've got, you know, peacemakers, people who call themselves peacemakers. Now, in the biblical context, that's people who bring reconciliation to a relationship. Whereas in the worldly context, it's someone who brings more force to break the back of the bad guy, or to stop them. Peace as the world gives is temporary, often violent, often is not a form of peace that happens on the inside. So Jesus says, I'm not giving you peace like the world gives. I'm giving you a supernatural peace. I'm giving you true shalom. I'm through my death on the cross, through everything that's going to happen tonight and end tomorrow. When you see me die, I'm going to bring you into a new relationship with God. I'm going to give you access to a brand new person. I'm going to take all that stuff on the inside that is broken and dark and lost, and I'm going to take that. I'm going to take it away and replace it with light, and replace it with peace, replace it with joy, replace it with purpose. You are going to have a courage that you've never had before. You will discover what it's like to, no matter what circumstances are in the world, to be able to feel peace, to understand, to feel like this will work out. I don't need to worry so much. I can face this struggle, face this trial, because something bigger than me is holding me up. I don't have to be at war within myself or with others. You've got peace as the world gives. You've got peace as Jesus gives. Keep in mind, and this is, we'll go to the verse again. It's, you know, not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This happens a lot. You get a ton of times in scripture where you're commanded to not be afraid. And it's never to be said, you know, shut up, I'm sick of hearing this, stop making all that noise. It's not like that. It's not the dad going, you know, deny your worries, deny your fears, deny all these things that are bad, deny that there's anything going wrong, live in this, and, you know, put on the blindfold and pretend like it's all okay. That's what I want you to do. That's not what God is saying here when he says, you know, do not be afraid. What he's saying is, I've got you. So, like, picture a horse rider, or the first time you're on a bike, or the first time you're going somewhere that you've never been before, doing something you've never done before, but your father, your dad, the expert, the police officer, the some bigger, stronger person of authority is walking with you, right? You're getting nervous. Say you go spelunking in a cave, whatever it is, you're getting nervous, right? You're like, I don't want to go. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. What do they say, right? Don't worry, I've got you. You can't fall over. I'm holding your bike. You can't get lost. I've been here many times. You can't get hurt. I know how to protect. You can't be, there's no reason for you to be afraid. I'm here and I've got this. And in that, I've got you. In the same way, God says, listen, it's not about pretending things aren't bad. It's about recognizing I'm bigger than them. I can use them for good. I can work through them. I can use them to not only affect, to bring myself glory, but to build your character and turn you into something you've never been before and useful in a way you've never been useful before. It's none of this is outside of my purview. None of it is outside of my ability to help. So you don't need to be afraid, right? You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be troubled. Now, is it sin to let your heart be troubled? Is it sin to be afraid? Is God mad at you when you are? No. He knows we're human. He knows that we have failings. He knows that we have fears. He knows that we have uncertainties in our life. He lived it. He's been there. Jesus himself, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was overwhelmed with emotion. This is a human thing. The issue isn't if you're feeling badly. The issue isn't if you're feeling afraid. The issue isn't if you're feeling troubled or sad or worried or out of your mind with whatever emotion. The issue is, what do you do with it, right? Do you run from it into denial? Do you try to medicate it away with food or drugs or alcohol or whatever? Do you try to use it as an excuse to hurt people? You know, since I feel bad, I can go, you know, yell at people. Since I feel bad, I can go and, you know, be horrible to people. I can go be, you know, like manipulate people or try to take things from people. I can utilize this pain in order to get things from people, right? Or do you take that fear, take that troubled heart, turn it over to God and say, listen, I'm a mess. Can you help me? Can you show me where I can find peace? Can you bring me wisdom that I don't have? Can you surround me with people that will actually help me? Can you take away the guilt and the shame and the anxiety that I have over all this because of all the stuff that I think I've done? Can you give me a global and worldly perspective? You know, show me how this is working out in history. Help me in my faith. Open up my eyes to see you and to trust that you know what you're doing. And in that, he does. I was talking with somebody recently, and they were saying how they're addicted to porn. They're having a really hard time with porn. And so the conversation started like this. I really feel crappy about myself, and I really feel like God is against me, right? This is where it started. How do you deal with thinking that God's against you? Because I recognize he's good, and I recognize the Bible says he's good, but I really feel like he's not good to me. And I asked the question, and I said, basically, you know, what's going on? What do you feel like he's unfair with? And eventually we get to the fact where it's actually 3 times a week, at least, I'm looking at porn and I'm consuming it. And I said, that's a pretty steady diet of shame. That's a pretty steady diet of seeking out comfort in a way that is destroying your heart and destroying your perception of God. And as you seek out these things, as you seek out these sinful ways, the bad ways, the addictive ways, the miserable ways of bringing yourself comfort, as you keep going to that, you're discovering more and more ways that you are disliking God, right? You go to that and suddenly God's not fair. You go to that and suddenly God seems like he's not providing enough. You know, you go to that and suddenly God feels like he's more and more distant. Why isn't he bringing comfort? You go to that and God feels like he's more and more angry with you. And you go to that and suddenly his word is far just convicting and it's always guilt trips, you know. And then you go to that and then suddenly everything to do with connecting to God and seeing God becomes this negative experience. because you have nonstop been feeding yourself shame and feeding and running from him. And now that conviction and that guilt and that shame is driving you away. And I said, the reason that you are at are troubled in your heart, the reason you don't feel at peace, right? The reason you've got all this stuff happening inside of you is because you continuously turn to pornography for comfort, and it is eating away. It's like acid in your soul, eating away your relationship with God, with other human beings, with yourself, with everything. It is literally eating you alive. And that's why your relationship with God seems so far. That's why you're afraid of people. That's why you don't, you're terrified of friendships and terrified of connecting to women. This is why you've got so much happening inside of you, so much fear. It's because you've rejected God's way and you continuously turn towards this thing that is actually poisoning you. So, what, you know, my recommendation was you need to contact your accountability partner. You need to contact your somebody who's supposed to be holding you to account and tell them, listen, you need to do a better job because I keep falling by the wayside and I'm getting lost. I'm getting beat up by the enemy. I'm getting angry at God and I'm going to end up doing something permanently stupid. You need to help me. Confess. Confess your sins to a real person and ask for help. And as you do that, as they pray for you, as you get better, suddenly God seems like he's far more loving. Suddenly his peace, the way he offers it, seems like it's far better. Suddenly the way that your heart is troubled seems far less the turbulent. The Jesus who calms storms suddenly is, you feel like he's doing that for you. Not because God went anywhere, not because God's promises changed, just because you've chosen to come to him instead of turning to poison. Right? Suddenly God seems a lot better. So if you feel like your heart is troubled right now, if you feel like you're at war within yourself, or like you've got fears like crazy, you're no different than anyone else. The disciples who were sitting at the table felt the same way. They're looking at Jesus. They're still worried. He's sitting at the actual table, right? And he says to you, listen, don't let your heart be troubled, right? Believe in me. Believe in God. I'm going to give you peace. Not like the world gives peace. Stop going to the world and stop thinking it comes through the world. Come to me. I'll give you peace. Will you trust me? So go confess to someone, confess to God, and ask for his kind of peace. He will answer. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your kind of peace. Thank you for not giving as the world gives, not being a capricious God like all the other ones, not being one who can be negotiated with or manipulated by offerings and sacrifices, for not being one who is selfish but is selfless, who is humble, who is actually a God who serves, even though you are creator of all. Thank you for that. We cannot begin to worship you enough or thank you enough. But there are a lot of people who are listening right now who don't recognize that the reason they dislike you so much, or they're afraid of you, or because, or they think badly of you, or they don't trust you, is because they're continuously poisoning themselves with comfort from the world. They're going to the world for something they should be coming to for you, coming to from you. Show them. Help them confess. Help them open their eyes. Help them to see how they're poisoning themselves, and then help them come to you. And then give them the peace. Work that supernatural peace in their heart, in their lives, in their spirits. Not necessarily changing their circumstance, but creating within them a strength that is above and beyond, so that they can be at peace in the midst of this troubled world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you love gamers and streamers and online content creators, or you have a heart for the lonely, lost, and broken people who are untouchable by traditional ministries, but they spend so much time online looking for hope, help, and connection, and you want to help me keep bringing the love of God to them full time, It would be amazing if you'd support me on Patreon. Your support is what allows me to serve this unique people group on the forefront of global missions. If you want to check out my books and other content, look at my website at artofthechristianninja.com. And of course, I live stream on Twitch Monday to Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'd love to see you there. We do some serious stuff, we do some silly stuff, and a little bit of everything in between. Thank you again for listening. Have a great day. And I really do hope to see you on the live stream soon.